Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. But guess what? Heard all across the world wide web. We are super excited to have you joining us here for another phenomenal week. And I am telling you now, you definitely want to jump in, get your seatbelts on, share on all of your social media sites, let them know you're checking out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Thank you for all of those that are coming in on the phone lines, those that are listening in from Twitter, from Instagram, from Facebook, from all across the World Wide Web. Of course, those are coming from Charvette.com and my mobile app and our broadcast stations. We love you guys. All right, so let me let you know what is going on today's show. So, I am super excited. I am tickled pink, as my auntie from Millersville, Georgia would say, for our first guest. He's hanging out in the virtual green room, so I know he's enjoying some virtual snacks. I am so really excited to have Gerard Barner joining us. I have called him my silent mentor, and he knows I have called him this for some time now. He just does it right. He just gets it right. And I'm telling you, I'm really excited to have him. Listen, he's the founder of Bonafide Radio. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week radio station, internet radio station, and they present radio and music in such a phenomenal way. They've been nominated. They're the only internet radio station to be nominated for 5 consecutive years as Internet Radio Station of the Year. And I'm telling you what, he's been recognized in so many other platforms and so many other awards by Gospel Music Workshop of America and Gospel Blue Mic Association and Kingdom Choice Awards, and the list goes on and on. He has talked to people like Kirk Franklin, Mary, Ty Tribbett, featured them on his show. I'm telling you, this gentleman is someone who has so much to say and so much to offer to artists and new and aspiring artists. So that's who I want to check us out today. So go ahead and share out what you're listening to. You are going to get some nuggets. You're going to get some treats today in our first segment. And then listen, I want you to hang around, because our second segment, I'm really excited to feature Hope Pianello. She's an independent fine artist. She specializes currently. Her current body of work is around paintings and acrylic, but she has done interior design and also different forms of printmaking, and you want to hear all about it. You want to hear all about it, and she's right here in the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, by way of New York. Yeah. We got to give her a shout-out about that. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right on in again for my first guest, and I want to mention that he's a native of Monticello, New York, but a graduate of Virginia Union University. So my Union Knights, where y'all at? Big shout out there. He has a bachelor's of science degree in mathematics, and he was a valedictorian of his class. See, I got to say all this stuff because he's such a humble guy. He won't even toot his own horn. But he, and along with 3 other partners, are also the founders of GospelFlavor.com. Oh my goodness. A leading informational website in gospel music industry, and he is a radio show host himself, has years experience with that, and he's just a good guy. Ladies and gentlemen, I am bringing up to the mic right now, Gerard Barner. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Charvette, how are you?
I am doing well. I know you were probably sitting there saying, I hope she don't go through my whole bio.
I'm just like, what in the world? Who in the world is this? This is crazy.
I have to do it because you are such a humble guy. And honestly, I just have to say this. I have to give you your flowers and salute you, because what I like about you, Gerard, is that you are the same. You have been the same from the time I met you. If I see you on Twitter, if I comment on Instagram, if I see you at the Stella Awards, you are the same. And that goes a long way with me. So thank you for just being a genuine guy. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. My mama taught me just treat people right. And at the end of the day, we all go to sleep. We all wake up. We all have to eat. We're all the same. So no need to get grand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you. All right, so let's jump right on in. So as a pun on the movies, when did you fall in love with music?
You know, this love affair with music started actually right from the womb, believe it or not. My mom was an avid musician. My dad, he had an unbelievable record collection. I remember growing up with my dad had these records, and he had 8 tracks and just music everywhere. And then my grandmother was the piano player at our church. And so it's like, you know, I've gotten this love affair with music very, very honestly right from the beginning. And, you know, it's just something that has been with me forever. I mean, I just don't remember a point in time in life where music was not involved at all. I just don't ever remember that. So, you know,
wow.
For me, it's been my entire life, and it's just taken on different forms, but I find myself completely immersed in this wonderful thing called music.
Oh, right. I love that. And so when did the broadcasting piece kind of come into play to go in that direction?
It's very interesting. I remember 6th or 7th grade being fascinated by the morning announcements in middle school. And I don't even know if they still do that anymore. But I was so intrigued by that. So I remember, just going out and applying for that and, you know, getting that and being able to do the morning announcements, and that type of stuff was fun to me. And I always, you know, I always loved radio and that kind of thing, and did not know really how that would end up happening. And then an opportunity ended up coming through the work I had done with Gospel Flava to do a news segment, which is like a 15-minute news entertainment segment, and it really just turned into something completely different. And it led to me ultimately co-hosting that station's morning show, and then I ended up learning all sorts of things in terms of production and working the board and all those types of things. And little did I know that would ultimately lead to where we are now.
Wow. And I always say God gives us breadcrumbs along
yes.
the way to kind of lead us in the right direction. So good thing you followed those. You followed those. And so Bonafide Radio is, I personally, if people ask me, who do you listen to, what do you listen to? And Gerard knows this, listeners, because I'll jump in the chat room sometime and he'll say hi, so he
yeah.
knows I'm listening. I'm not just tooting the horn. But this is, you know, I feel like Oprah with Oprah's, you know, favorite things. So
wow.
Bonafide Radio is on my iPhone. It is what I listen
wow.
to. And so when you initially started, it was a, kind of a broadcast. But now it's a whole station and shows. And so initially when you started, you know, what was your vision? And then how has your vision kind of morphed and grown over the years?
This is one of my favorite stories to tell because I think people – probably think I had this great grand master plan like Pinky in the Brain. And
uh-huh.
I didn't. My initial intent, you know, I had just left FM radio and I didn't really want to leave. And so it was like, well, what do? I have the bug. I have the info. And so it was just like, okay, well, I have a website. Let's just start something there. So it was never an intent to have a station. The intent was to do a 2-hour show twice a week. And I would have been completely satisfied. But the first day, people were just like, we want more. And I wasn't prepared to give them more. So
wow.
it quickly turned into something that was way more than I initially thought. But you were right in the terms of how God gives us breadcrumbs. And I like how you said that because I really think, you know, the overall vision would have been, you know, way too much at the time. So it was bit by bit, piece by piece. You know, Bible talks about precept
yeah.
upon precept, all that type of stuff. But it is so basically that I can figure out, okay, well, what do I need to do and what needs to happen and how do I grow this? Because I didn't know how to manage a whole station. I didn't know how to program a whole station. I didn't, you know, so it was a point of
yeah.
bit by bit, little by little, and it organically grew. You know, I didn't know at the time that we were creating a prototype for so many others to be able to look at and say, hey, I can do that. I want to do that. I had no clue. I just knew this is something that I wanted to do. And when the people kept coming and they kept coming and, you know, they stayed and, you know, we created this community, It was just like, yeah. Holy cow, okay, well, let's roll with it, and let's do this, and let's do that. And it's just funny to watch how God has a way of utilizing all of the things in your life to make them work. When we got to a point to decide we want to go 24/7, mm-hmm. my biggest question was how, because at the time, I only had my show. You know, I didn't have
right.
any other programming. And so literally the thought that came back to me, my mind went back to the early days of BET. And if you remember the early days of BET, you know, they had probably 3 or 4 shows, and they would just re-air those shows over and over. So, you know, if you missed the show with Donnie Simpson at, you know, 5, it would come on
uh-huh.
again at 11. You know what I mean? And so we had just gotten to the point where we had a number of, you know, we podcast all of our shows. And so it got to a point where our show was moving from 2 hours to 4 hours. And so we just started looping old shows. And people just lost their mind because, oh, my God, we get it in 24/7. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it was just a lot of it was just a lot of creativity and ingenuity and really doing what you could do with what you had until you were able to do more. And, you know, from there, programming began, things like that. So it's just crazy to see what happened. But it initially started as a 2-hour show twice a week.
Wow. There you have it. There you have it, listeners. If you're just tuning in, hey there, you're checking out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and I am so delighted to have Gerard Bonner here with us, BonnerfiedRadio.com. Check them out online. Artists, we welcome you, new artists that are listening, aspiring artists. And if you've been an artist for a while and you're not getting it right, hey, welcome. We have some tips for you. We have some tips for you. And so I want you to, and I know you. This is not your nature, but I do want you to name drop for me because you've had major artists. I know, and off the top of your head, you're probably like, I can't even think. But you've had major artists come to you to do listening parties, and I think you were one of the first kind of people I saw really doing like that online listening party, letting people kind of hear snippets and things. So, who are some of the artists that have come to you to do listening parties?
It's really, really crazy, the whole listening party phenomenon. Our very first listening party, oddly enough, was with LaShawn Mitchell, and it was the Triumphant Project, the project that produced Nobody Greater. That was
yeah.
our very first listening party.
Wow.
And so it was really crazy how all of those have happened. So, I mean, pretty much every major gospel artist, you know, we have done a listening party for it in some way, shape, or form, from, you know, Mary Mary to John C. Key to, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And the coolest thing to me is, you know, a moment like right now where
mm-hmm.
if you look at the gospel charts right now, the top 4 artists on this week's Billboard Top Gospel Albums chart, 3 of those top 4 artists did listening parties with us for those projects, like, just last week to go into week 1. So it's
wow.
really crazy to see the influence that these listening parties have had. And I think I'm more humbled than anything that, you know, record companies and artists and the like really view our venue as a place that they would trust, you know, their music to be presented in a way where people can get a sneak peek and people will know that it's presented well. So I'm just glad that people consider us to be part of that plan. But it's been incredible, the artists that we've had the opportunity to work with over the years. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you work with independent artists and then you get
mm-hmm.
to connect with artists that you've been following your whole life, you know, like
yeah.
a John Key or a Hezekiah Walker. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you know. So it's been crazy to see what's happened on the listening party front. It's been unbelievable.
Wow, more to come, more to come. So I just wanted to highlight that, listener, so that you know these tips we're getting ready to go into that Gerard is qualified certainly to give some guidance. So let's jump right on in and help our artists out. What are your top 3 to 5 things that new or aspiring artists, they've got to get right? What are the top 3 to 5 things they've got to get right?
I will start where, you know, where it all begins. It all begins with a great song and great content. I think one of the biggest challenges particularly in this gospel music genre, is that we have a hard time being creative. And it's really, you know, some people won't like this, but to me, it's an indictment against the Creator, who is the most creative being ever created, and He made us in His image, so we should be creative people. So I don't understand why we end up, you know, having 5 or 6 or 7 artists with the exact same song titles and the exact same phrases and things like that. So if you're going to start off, you've got to start off with a great song. Take the time to pen a song that makes sense. You know, pen a song as a, if you're going to do an inspirational song, let it inspire. If it's a gospel song, let it be biblically accurate and biblically based. But you can be creative in presenting those concepts. So it starts with a great, great song. And then from there, I would say you absolutely need great branding, great imaging. I think what has happened over time is, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s, back then there wasn't a whole lot on image because we didn't, you know, you couldn't regularly see a gospel artist somewhere. So all you had was, you know, if they had an album cover or because, you know, there weren't very many television outlets. They weren't doing music videos. So all you had was radio. So your image didn't really matter as much. Well, now this generation is a very visual generation. So your branding, your styling, all of that has to be current. You know, so I'll say that. I can get into more of that a little bit later. But the other thing I would say is marketing. You know, I often tell the story, it's the old adage that says, if a tree falls in a forest and nobody's there to hear it, was there sound? You know,
right.
So if you have an amazing song, an amazing record, great graphics and imaging, but you aren't marketing this record, marketing is the way that people are going to know what you're doing. And so if nobody knows what you're doing, you've just spent all this money, all this time, all this effort, all this energy, all of this life on something, but you've not put it out there for the people to be able to consume it. So my top three would be great content, great imaging, and great marketing.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And Gerard, I got to tell you, I had one time on the branding piece and that imaging piece, I had one time a independent, up-and-coming kind of Christian hip-hop artist who wanted to come on my show, and I always ask for a picture, right? They literally sent me a selfie that looks like she was in the closet with sunglasses on. God be my witness. If she was in a closet with sunglasses on, and that's what she sent to me to represent her brand. And I'm just like, really?
You know, here's the thing.
People don't think about it.
They don't think about it because they think they associate independent with low budget. And the two don't have to go together. It does not really cost a whole lot of money for great imaging and great marketing. It doesn't necessarily cost a lot. The point is you have to be willing to make the investment. Because a lot of folks think that, you know, as a producer of something, well, you know, I put my blood, my sweat, and my tears, and naturally it's going to be the greatest thing ever created. All creative people are very attached to their work. So the idea that somebody won't like it, nobody ever thinks that, you know. So they put all of their attention or a great part of it into the creation of the actual content. But you need to have a budget that's just as big, if not bigger, for imaging and branding. And what they don't realize is, you know, immediately the consumer and those of us in the industry, before we ever hear your track, we see your image. And automatically it gives a message, if you aren't willing to take a good picture and you aren't willing to have great graphics, then it says to us the music's going to be bad. And a lot of folks won't even listen if the artwork isn't done well.
Oh, he preaching louder than y'all shouting. He preaching louder than y'all are shouting right now. Oh, my goodness. This is my pet peeve, because as a web designer and I work with people, you know, on their websites, I'm repeating exactly, you know, what you're saying all of the time. Listen, shout out to LaTanya Boyd. She's listening. She was like, oh, my goodness, great tips. Thank you for the retweet, Spiritual Food Radio. Thank you, Carla R. Jenkins, for the retweet. Thank you for our online listeners. Gerard, we're going to give some more tips, but tell me, do you have services that you can sit down and coach and consult with artists to help them with these things?
Absolutely. I do a lot of consultation, and I have all sorts of services available to people. Everything from being able to review your project or review your single and tell you, hey, do this, don't do that, to branding and marketing, to even just career direction. So we talk about all those types of things in our consultation sessions, and I really sculpt them around your specific needs. So we have a number of things. We have 30-minute sessions, 60-minute sessions, and we have ongoing coaching opportunities as well. And you can get all of that information. You can simply email us info@getbonerfied.com. Again, info@getbonerfied.com. I would love to schedule you. And one of the coolest things that I have found happening is that it's not just new artists that need this information. It is artists that have been in the game for a while. In fact, to be honest with you, sometimes artists who have been in the game in a while need it just as much, because they are accustomed to how it used to be. And the industry has changed so much just in the last 5 years that it's very easy to be out of touch. So we work really, really hard, you know, on things like social media presence and, you know, how to use that to your advantage and what to do and what not to do and all of those kinds of things, interviewing skills and all of that. So, you know, the beautiful thing is, you know, next year will be 20 years in the industry for me, and I didn't even realize it's been that long.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
wow.
But the crazy part about that is I have had so many experiences with things that have gone well, things that have not gone well. You know, there are artists who have given such poor interviews sometimes, and as a journalist, you're working hard to figure out, okay, how do I make this sound good? Because my job is to make you look good. So,
right.
Oh, my Lord. You know what I mean? So,
and
I
you didn't give me anything
help.
To work with.
Nothing. You know what I mean? So my job is to help. Because one of the things that's lost right now in the industry at large is artist development. That used to be such a key component when artists signed on to labels and things like that. That is completely missing. Nobody is standing up and taking that as a task, and that's something that's been my heart for years. And so now is the opportunity to be able to help folks. So I absolutely want to help people. info@getbonerfied.com is the email address. And we'll get you all the information, how we can get some sessions going and really help your career out.
Perfect. And I have tagged him on Facebook as well, and also tweeted him and Bonafide Radio. So those are easy connection points, and Instagram. So those are all the connection points right there. And I'm so glad you also mentioned how social media has played, you know, such really a game-changing role for artists. So talk a little bit about that.
You know, social media can be your greatest friend or your worst nightmare, and you are in complete control of it. You know, here's what people don't realize. Folks use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of these sites, and they think, well, you know, it's my page. I can do what I want to do. And you are exactly right. But what you don't realize is that in the process, this is now your digital resume. It's your digital footprint. And so what's happening now is, it used to be when folks were looking to say, I want to bring this artist into town, you know, they would go from word of mouth. Now they can just search for you on YouTube. They can look for your performances that way. And they can also check you out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. What is this person talking about? If they're talking about, you know, and this is funny, whenever all the award shows come on, everybody has so much to say. And here's what you don't realize. One tweet, one Facebook post can cost you a booking. And
wow.
I have seen it happen where I know well-named preachers who were going to bring people to their church till they went on their social media account and they said, I'll pass. I'll go to somebody else. So you have to absolutely use it with wisdom. I think of it this way. You know, if you have, let's say you have 5,000 followers, would you get 5,000 people into a stadium and stand on the stage and tell them your personal business? If you would, then post it. If you wouldn't, then don't.
Right. Oh, that's great. That's a great check mark there to check yourselves. Oh, my goodness. Gerard Bonner, you guys, I'm telling you, I told you, he knows what he's talking about. Super excited to have you here. Okay, so let's talk about a couple of common mistakes. And we've kind of mentioned some of them, but any other mistakes that you see or you observe in just people even submitting music to be played, any mistakes you see happening?
There are a few, and I'll try to keep them concise. One of them, of course, is, you know, if you're going to submit something to a radio station, find out what their submission guidelines are. So it can be as simple as some folks request MP3s over WAV files. You know, send people what they need. We ask for, you know, MP3s, bios, photos, all those things, because we have things that we're going to do with them. So make sure you're submitting what they need. A big problem that I also see is people don't mix and master their record well. You know, you can sometimes tell that they mixed it at home or they didn't have somebody, they didn't pay the money to do it. The problem that most radio people will have is you have to take your song and play it against Kirk Franklin and play it against McCray and play it against, you know, and in my case, it's all those folks plus Toby Mac and Adele and Ledisi. And, you know, so the question is, I want our radio station to have a certain sound, as every radio station wants their station to have a sound. They can't have your song mess it up. So a lot of folks need to go back and mix and master some of those things. I would get into content, but the thing that I really want to pay attention to is some of these folks just aren't nice.
Oh, my goodness.
For instance, I've had tons of people submit music to us, okay? And because of the sheer volume, I may not be able to respond to you within 5 minutes or 2 days or what have you. And so people will then hit you back, and they'll hit you back. They won't even say hello. Did you listen to my record? I had one person just a couple of weeks ago hit me on Facebook, and their first response was, I haven't heard my song on your station. Why isn't it playing?
Oh!
And my first response was, well, good morning. How are you? You know, I think people have to remember we are dealing with people, and no radio programmer is obligated to play your music. So it's, and I'm not saying you have to kiss up to anybody. Just be nice. Just be nice.
Oh,
that
my
will
goodness.
Get you so much further than trying to be a bull in a china shop, because I guarantee you, people will say no. And if you, watch this, if your music is marginal, if you're nice, you have a better chance of getting it played than if you have a great song but an ugly personality.
Oh, my goodness. And you are not entitled, and there's no radio station required to play your music or to interview you. They are not required.
None.
And I think people don't understand or realize that.
No, I don't know why. They don't understand, particularly as a new artist. Here's the thing. I know as a new artist, you know your story, but the rest of us are just getting introduced to you. So if a stranger was to knock on your door and say, hey, I've got the greatest thing in the world. I want to come live with you and show you. Wait a minute. I don't even know you. Try introducing yourself to me first before I let you in my house. And so I think people don't realize, you know, you are asking for space in somebody's house when you submit your music. At least be nice. And at least do this. Discover the culture of that station. You may be submitting music, you know, there's nothing worse than somebody who does quartet music and they submit music to an urban radio station. Well, it doesn't matter how well it's mixed and mastered. If they only play urban music, the quartet won't fit into the format and vice versa. So at least listen to the station that you're trying to submit your music to. You could save yourself some trouble, because if none of the music on there sounds like what you're doing, you probably won't be added to the station.
Very great. Excellent advice. Excellent advice there. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, time just flew by. I got to mention, though, Periscope. So Periscope, yeah. And listeners, you've heard me talking about one of the newest social media platforms that lets you do live video stream. And so, Gerard, talk a little bit about your weekly Periscope broadcast.
Yes, every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, I take about 30 minutes and we do artist tips. And so I talk about specific issues that we see, ways to help artists. So usually I do about 15 minutes of that, and then I take your questions for the remaining time. And it's really proved to be something very, very special because people get credible, accurate information. And I'm just like this. It's an investment in yourself, you know. So I want to advise you, tonight we're doing it, and I've got a couple of things that we're going to talk about tonight that you will absolutely want to hear, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. So follow me on Periscope. You can find me at Bonnerfied on Periscope. And I promise you, the cool thing is it's titled Artist Tips, but they are principles that you can use in any genre of your life. So if you're not an artist, if you don't do anything musical, you can still use these same principles in your line of work. In terms of chasing your dream or being a better employee or what have you, this will all be applicable. So definitely check it out, and I'd love to hear what you guys think.
Wonderful. And what was so cool about Periscope was you got married recently and you Periscoped or somebody Periscoped your wedding. So I felt like I was sitting right there outside on the lawn. I was at the reception all by way of Periscope.
It was crazy. That was really like the first – that was my first day on Periscope. We did the wedding.
It was
crazy. But, you know, so many people have followed our journey online. And so, you know, naturally we couldn't invite everybody, but through Periscope we
right.
kind of did. And it was really cool. It was really cool.
Shout out. So awesome, awesome. And I definitely want you to shout out your wife and your daughter.
Absolutely.
Let's give them a shout out.
Shout out to my gorgeous wife who is somewhere listening now, Mrs. Bonnerfied, a.k.a. Yanisha Yanni. Love her. And then my daughter, Jordan, who was also in the wedding, but that's, of course, my heart. She's 13. She'll be 14 next month. I'm just like, what in the world? Y'all pray for me. but I will tell you, you know, getting married, again, it's just made this year just a huge year in my life. And it's really cool to be able to be connected to somebody who has been a part of your dream for so long. And so, if you know, there are moments that I literally wake up and I'm like, oh, my God, I am married to her. Wow.
Wow.
You know, it's pretty cool. It's really, really cool. It's really cool.
Oh, let's just put your hands together. Yes.
Hey,
yes,
little,
Gerard Bonner
it.
Of Bonnerfied Radio. Thank you so much again. And, again, I just salute you. And, you know, I'll just keep up with you on social media. So thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much. And you guys, of course, can follow Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope, Bonnerfied. It's just that simple. You can follow the station at Bonnerfied Radio. Check us out, BonnerfiedRadio.com. And then also before I go, we are in the first round ballot for the Stellar Awards.
So you guys
can vote for that. Yeah, that voting ends this Friday for the first round. We're in Category 5. So check that out if you get the opportunity. And then the FM station that we are doing our FM syndicated broadcast is also up as well. They're in Category 4, KBYO-FM on the small market. So if you consider that, that would be absolutely wonderful. And, again, Charvette, thank you so much for this. You have always been a supporter, and it's always just great when I see you or hear from you.
Aww.
You're just fantastic. So I don't take this for granted. Thank you so much for this.
Oh, you are quite welcome. You are quite welcome. All right. Thank you. All right, listeners, don't go anywhere. We're coming up with our second segment. Hope is hanging out right now in the virtual green room. We're going to be right back right after this.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day by LaTanya Boyd, consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day. Available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.latiboyd.com.
IndustryBuzz with 3Zs.com. Join in today on the movement to bring integrity back to media. With one click of a button, you can disseminate your information right from IndustryBuzz to all your favorite social sites like Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and to your email contact. Maximize your vision today. Plus, get the latest news, entertainment, and media. Need fashion or makeup tips? Looking for a job? Connect with us today. Want to connect with other business visionaries? Connect with us today. This site is for everyone, from teens to music lovers, from businessmen and women, industry professionals, and performers. As a member of Industry Buzz with 3Zs, you'll gain help promoting your vision. Industry Buzz with 3Zs will expose, expand, and keep your fan base up to date with all your happenings. Members also receive free or discounted perks from various sponsored companies. So join the social network. Expand and stabilize your business. Connect with like-minded individuals. Need an artist to minister at your upcoming event? Look on Industry Buzz. Have a voice and submit your article to our e-magazine. Industry Buzz with 3Zs is the place to globalize your vision. Establish it today. Be heard. It's all on IndustryBuzzWith3Zs.com. She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading author, gospel artist, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back here to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. But guess what? Heard all across the World Wide Web. We are moving right on into our second segment. I'm super excited to be featuring a dynamic young lady. She's been hanging out in the virtual green room, so I know she's enjoyed some virtual snacks while she's been in there. Hope Pianello, she's an independent fine artist, a native of Harlem, New York, but raised right here in the heart of Richmond, Virginia. She's a graduate of Open High School, and I'm telling you what, also Mary Baldwin College with a BA in studio art with the emphasis in ceramic art, and she is an artist that you need to know about. Coming up to the mic right now, Hope, welcome to the show.
Hi, Charvette. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
We are glad to have you. Listen, I wish this was TV and not radio so they could see your artwork. But I'd love to kind of start from the beginning. And I asked my first artist, like the movie Brown Sugar says, you know, when did you fall in love with hip hop? When did you fall in love with art?
You know what, Charvette? I have literally been in love with art my whole life. It took me a real long time to realize that I was actually in love. I knew it was a hobby. I loved to do it. It was effortless to me. It wasn't anything that required too much stress or, you know, a lot of effort or anything like that. But I denied it for a long time, though. I denied my abilities. And once I started recognizing that, you know, what I had going on was good, I've ran with it ever since then. And that happened in college, actually.
Oh, wow. So with you having your, you know, your degree in studio art, now explain to listeners, we want to educate people today and you know, just bring up our knowledge level. What is studio art and what's included in that?
Okay, well, I went to a liberal arts school. Mary Baldwin is a liberal arts school. I didn't know for sure what I wanted to major in. So I just signed up. I was going to go in there. I was going to figure it out. A lot of college students are under the impression, though, that, you know, you have to find something that's going to make you money. So I spent a lot of time focusing on things that I thought would make me money, but in turn really didn't make me happy. So I was into the arts, but then I realized, okay, Hope, stop thinking you're going to be a social worker because that's depressing. Stop thinking you're going to write papers for a living and just jump into your own art. So with my studio art major, I had to take a lot of art classes. I took drawing, I took printmaking, I took painting, I took ceramics, which was my emphasis. So I actually did a lot of pottery for my senior project in college. But with a studio art major, I'm pretty much well-rounded in a lot of the arts. So I got to kind of dabble in a lot of different things, which was really awesome.
Phenomenal. And how do you get inspired, you know, for your art? Is it something that just you can see a flower or you can see, you hear a situation? Like, how do you get inspired to create your masterpieces?
Well, actually, right now, I'm a 27-year-old chick living in the world, and everything inspires me. I really try to see the beauty in every day because those are the gifts that go unrecognized, and I know that I'm here to recognize them and to help other people recognize them. So, you know, I have an office job. When I get off that job, I need to do something that I enjoy. So I focus on my art, and I think about the beautiful things that I've seen, and I think about the things that make me feel happy, and I try to, in turn, put that on canvas so that other people can feel those same feelings that I feel, too.
All right. I love that. I love that. So let's talk about some of the many really different mediums that you have explored. So printmaking, talk a little bit about that side in your time, you know, doing that type of art.
Well, when I was in college, and even some in high school, too, Open High is a really well-rounded school. I will always vouch for my high school because that's honestly where I got the love for the arts in the first place. Like, we were able to get our hands dirty and get into all types of different projects. At VCU, at J. Sargent Reynolds, we have some awesome, awesome teachers there that kind of brought their own skills to the table and just wanted to share them with students. So that's where my printmaking started. We actually made T-shirts one year. We started with some silk screening. Once I got to college, I actually, you know, studied a little more in depth these things. We did some more silk screen. We also did lithographs where we actually had copper plates that we got to etch. So cool. I know it sounds really complicated, but it's not when you're right in front of it. So all that, you know, I love doing that. I'm actually not really that into it right now, but when I can afford to, I definitely will be again.
I love it. I love it. And so let's talk about the interior design. You know, really, art is in so much. So interior design, what about kind of your time with that piece, that side of art?
Well, actually, I've always loved interior design. And my mom would always tell me, Hope, you know, let's move the living room around. Or what are you doing to your room this time? I'm always moving furniture and thinking about what can go where. Because, I don't know, it's nice to keep an environment fresh. You know, you want to move things around, and for some reason, I kind of have an eye for it. So in college, it was offered as an emphasis in studio art as well. So I actually jumped into a class and took a class, and out of my whole college, there was literally one teacher in the school that was doing interior design. So I was excited. I was going to be, you know, hang out with this lady and get everything she knew, you know, and just get it all, soak it in and be an interior designer. But what was really unfortunate is that once I started down that road, the teacher, the class that I was taking, it wasn't really talking much about interior design. It wasn't as fun as I thought. And the lady was teaching us, if you put a sofa in someone's living room that catches on fire, it's going to be your fault. And I was like, that's enough. I can't do it. I can't do it. So not for me. And soon after that, she actually left the school. I'm not sure what was up with that, but I definitely still have an eye for interior design. My apartment is awesome. I designed it myself. And but besides that, you know, it's really a very technical thing if you're going to study it. So honestly, it was a little too technical for me.
No problem. That's honesty. That's honesty right there. So you found kind of really your niche and your comfort place with paintings and acrylic. Acrylic, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
Right.
So tell us.
And when I was in college, actually, that painting was just a class I had to take. So I took two semesters worth of painting. I did oil paint and also acrylic paint. It was a lot of fun, but when I was in college, I wasn't really focused on painting. So those were classes that I had to take pretty much to fulfill my liberal arts requirement. But what I did focus on was ceramics then. So my love for acrylic paint and, you know, kind of recognizing my talent in it came after I graduated from college, and I actually got a job at a place called Wine and Design. I'm not sure if everybody knows what that is, but it's a paint party studio. And I got in there, and I realized, okay, I can be in command of this paint. And it's an awesome outlet to, you know, get my art back running into my life. So I started with that, and it's pretty much been taking off ever since.
And you know what? The paint parties are growing like gangbusters. Like,
definitely.
All of a sudden, you know, it's just like, what do you think the appeal is to people, you know, now have all this interest in art and kind of these paint parties?
Well, the first time I actually heard of the Pink Party was when I was invited to a Mary Baldwin alumni event at the studio that I ended up working at. So we went there, did a class. I never even knew that they existed. And this was about maybe 2 or 3 years ago now. I think maybe 3 years. And I was like, wow, this is a really cool idea. Like, I wonder what I need to do to get in here, you know, so I can be a part of this, because I had my major and, you know, I wasn't doing anything art related in my life at that time. But it's a great time. You can come, it's relaxed. Everybody can just unwind, you know, have a little drink and just be creative. It's a space where you can't do any wrong. And that's really what I love about art. So now, since I've actually departed from Wine and Design, I'm doing paint parties on my own. And I love to be able to offer that to people, because it gives them a chance to, you know, unwind from your day and come put some color on some canvas. And then you get this lovely thing to take home. It's like the perfect party.
I love it, and I've definitely seen the invites on Facebook. Big shout-out to your mom, Holly. Hello.
Shout-out.
Thanks, Mom.
shout-out
to my mom.
Mom
I'm listening, too. Hey.
shout-out.
So how can people find out about your parties and either, you know, coming to the ones that you already have scheduled, or if they want to bring you, you know, into maybe a conference or to their home to do a paint party? How does that all work?
Well, we actually take in requests through my email address. So I actually have a website up as well, where I have some of my paint party art on one of the tabs on my website. So people can go onto my website, check it out, and send me an email straight from my site for a request to do things like that. So I am mobile. I've got enough materials to host a party of 40. So if anybody out there is interested, you know, we can do it at your house. We can do it in your backyard. We can do it wherever you want to go. Okay, so they can reach out to me. My email is hopeplo@gmail.com. Send me an email with a request, and I would love to host a party for you guys.
Wonderful. And what's your website address?
The website is hopeplo.wix.com/hplo.
All
Everybody
right, there you have it. Check it out. And they can connect with you on Facebook, because I know that I've seen the invites to some of the parties you're doing through Facebook as well.
Yes, and
wonderful.
You know what? I actually have a running public party right now at the restaurant Taste at Infusions. It's actually connected to Infusions, the nightclub. They've got an awesome restaurant, awesome food, and they actually host a paint party there 2 Tuesdays a month. At their location. So you guys can come on out to that. We got one coming up November 17th. Be there or be square. Come bring a friend and let's paint some stuff and eat some great food.
Wonderful. From a local independent fine artist, you can you know, meet and greet and get all of the expertise. So Hope, tell me when you first kind of knew, okay, I think I could really do something with my art, like I can sell this. Well, you know, when did you have that aha moment?
Well, actually, I was approached on Facebook by a lady by the name of Contessa, and she is the owner of a restaurant called 16 West in Petersburg. And she reached out to me because she had found me online and she liked my artwork, and she wanted to have me at her place. So I went out, I met with her, and she let me go into her restaurant, beautiful restaurant, and fill her restaurant with all of my artwork. I had a wonderful show. It was September 11th. So many people came out to check my stuff out, and when I saw the turnout that day, I knew I could do it.
Wow.
When I saw how many people were interested and how many people actually liked what I was doing, I knew that I could do it. And I know that every day when I wake up and I have to go to a job that I don't really like that much, that that's not for me, and I need to figure out what I can do to make me happy and to make me some money. So
yes.
I have pretty much devoted myself to, you know, figuring out a plan on how to sell all my artwork and, you know, give parties to people and host things. You know, I want to get in touch with businesses. You know, I can do fundraisers. I can do team building events. And it can be a fun time at the same time. It doesn't always have to be painful. And art is not painful. So that's kind of why I'm going that route.
Oh, wow. And so for those that are listening, trying to, you know, they haven't been to your website yet, but they're trying to imagine, you know, what does your artwork look like? Do you have, can you kind of paint a mental picture of the types of things you paint, the types of images they would see in your artwork?
That's a really good question. And I'm going to try to figure out how to explain that in words. But when I first started painting at Wine and Design, I was pretty much painting things that I could easily teach someone else how to paint. So it kind of turned into a task. It wasn't as effortless as I was wanting it to be because I had to think, okay, well, how am I going to explain, you know, to this group how to paint this themselves? So when I left Wine and Design and I had a chance to really just go internal to myself and figure out what I wanted to paint, I literally just let my brain take over. I let it be a type of therapy for myself because I was feeling a lot of stress from the world. You know, I've recently moved out of my mom's house, living on my own. You know, you start realizing that, wow, this is real life and, you know, this is pretty tough. So, you know, I'm trying to calm myself down and think about the thoughts that make me happy. And honestly, I love color. I love color. I love movement. I love anything that speaks to something that, you know, is even imaginary. Kind of, I love my childhood. I reflect on it often. And I know other people have that same love. And when they see my artwork, whether they can understand exactly what it is, you know, whether it's some planets, because I do a lot of outer space type artwork, whether it's planets, whether it's flowers, anything like that, I like to put a little bit of my own personality into it. And that's going to be the color. You know, it's going to be bright. It's going to make you feel good when you stand in front of it. It's going to make you wonder, you know, what was she thinking when she was going through this? Or what was she thinking when she created this piece? But I love color. I love contrast. I love to put things together, put items together that maybe you wouldn't assume should be together. You know, I like to think about the subconscious. I like to think about the other dimensions. You know, it might sound a little trippy, but it's like my brain goes there, and I want to put it on canvas so people can know what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling.
Oh, wow. Okay, so let's do this little impromptu. Maybe someone, you know, they're starting a new business at the beginning of the year and they got a bedroom that they're changing into an office. And maybe they have, you know, some cherry wood furniture. Maybe they have like a blue chair and they need some artwork. What kind of recommendations or tips would you have them give them to kind of help them, you know, pick out what to put in that office space?
Well, one kind of motto that I've learned to go with, especially with the type of artwork that I make, is that the art that you decorate your place with does not have to match your furniture. Okay, so a lot of people are under the impression that, you know, all right, I want to get something that's blue because my couch is blue and I want it to match my couch or I want it to match this rug. You know, I understand, you know, why people want to do that. If you're trying to, you know, create a cohesive space, a space where you can relax and stuff like that. But if you want something exciting, if you want something that people will notice, you want to think of the contrast of whatever colors you have going on. So, for example, if you have some cherry wood furniture, that's like a dark burgundy, almost reddish color. You might want to put something blue and yellow and those colors that are on the opposite of the color wheel of those colors to kind of pop because that'll make it the focal point of your room. So now people aren't just going to see, you know, one big space of color. They'll see, you know, all right, now I'm looking at the whole color wheel. I've got this blue couch, but then I have this, you know, lovely yellow art on the wall that's the complete opposite. And that's how you keep people interested. That's how you keep a space active.
Oh, I like that. All right, let's move on to someone's redoing their kitchen. And they put up all white cabinets. They have all white cabinets. And maybe they decided with a gray marble, kind of that grand white marble countertop. And so they're thinking, what kind of artwork would I put in this white kitchen? What advice would you give that person?
Wow, that sounds like the possibilities are endless, and I want to be in that kitchen hooking it up, okay?
Yes.
I love white because you can do anything with it. So if I had a white kitchen, I would want to put some yellow in there, some pink maybe, something that's going to be bright and will pop. But it all depends really on the person decorating. It all depends what kind of vibe you're trying to send in the space. So if I had a white kitchen with, you know, gray, I would love to see some yellow in there. I would love to see some different, and not even just one color yellow. You know, you want to kind of People like to be matchy-matchy, okay? I know some people like that. You know, they'll have the yellow shoes, and then they have to have the yellow bag that's the same exact yellow. And it doesn't always work like that. In the art world, it doesn't work like that. If you want to have yellow, you can have different shades of it. You know, you can have something similar to yellow, maybe even a little bit of a lime green. That kind of just grows the whole spectrum and gives you, you know, all these, it gives you more access to a lot of different feelings. So yellow might make you feel one thing, but then if you add some lime green in there, you know, it might evoke a whole totally different feeling. So it's up to kind of what you want to feel in certain spaces.
Can you have? Can you ever have too much art? Is there like a rule of thumb? One picture or three pictures, or what if somebody wants to put six pictures up? Any any guidance there?
You know what? There's a way to do it. If you want to have, if you want to have like a gallery type of environment, then yeah, put all those pictures up. You know, you want them to have some cohesion though. If you're looking at it and you're feeling like anxiety town, you probably need to take some down. But if you have some stuff up and it's flowing from one piece to another, even if they're different, then stick with it. You know, go with it. I don't think there's ever too much art. Right now I have a house full of art, and if I could hang them all up in strategic places, I definitely would. But it's all up to how that person wants to decorate. If they want to have it up and, you know, it makes them feel good to have all these different things, go for it. It's all about how you feel. And that's kind of why I love art, because there's really no wrong way to do it.
No wrong way to do it. All right, there you go, listeners. We gave you some tips there with your art and working with your house. So if you just tuned in, hey there, thanks for those that are hanging out on the phone lines. We appreciate you joining us, those coming in from Twitter and Facebook and Charvette.com. You're checking out our second Hey, you're checking out our second segment with Hope Pianello, independent fine artist. Hope, tell them one more time again your email and your website, how they can connect with you.
Okay, my email is, and you guys can shout me an email, send me an email if you want to request any art, request an art party, or anything like that. My email is Hope, H-O-P-E, and the letters P-N-L-O at gmail.com. My website is Hope, P-N-L-O, .wix.com/HPNLO. Check me out.
Check her out. And also, you're on Instagram. How can they connect with you on Instagram?
Yes. My Instagram name is HPNLO. Follow me on there. I've got lots of my artwork up there and a little bit of my life, so you can check it all out. It's all right there for everybody to see. And you can look me up on Facebook. My full name on there, Hope Pianello. That's P-I-A-N-E-L-L-O.
All right. Do you have any shout-outs you want to give? Any shout-outs? Anyone help you along the way? You just want to shout them out?
Uh-oh, I got 20 minutes for the shout-outs. You ready?
I'm ready.
Only kidding. Shout-out to my mom. She literally is the reason I'm here in all aspects of the word. Okay, she always encouraged me to follow my dream. She helped me figure my dream out when I didn't know it was my dream. So shout out to her. She makes it all happen. Shout out to my friends that keep me grounded and that help me stay motivated. Shout out to my little big sister, Cecily Young, who's probably listening out there somewhere too, for everything and all the ways that she helps me be better. She is the little sister, but she is the big sister too. Okay, she's mostly the big sister.
I'm like that.
Shout out to my family that supports me all the time. Shout out to all my Facebook friends and family, all the people that I know, all the people that I don't know that I will know soon. Shout out to them.
All right, good, good, good. My last question for you as we begin to wrap up, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
Wow, that's a great question. I am motivated by watching my dreams come true. I literally dream them, and I want them. So there's nothing that's going to stop me in that direction. I want to be the best version of myself that I can possibly be. And until I get there, then I'm going to keep doing it. I'm motivated by my mom's story. She has come from so much, and to know how blessed I am to have a clean slate, I feel like I have to do the most with that, and I will.
Yeah.
I'm motivated by the passion of others. I see people around me trying every day to be their best selves too. And that definitely keeps me motivated. And all the ways that people will try to infiltrate my positive vibe with negative vibes, that motivates me too.
to keep going, like no negative vibes
yes,
over here. No negativity
negative
is allowed. I love it. Well, it's been really a pleasure to just chat with you and share you with our listeners. And certainly we wish you continued success.
Thank you so much, Charvette. This is awesome. I'm so excited to have had this opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. All right, listeners, guess what? That is a wrap. We used all our time up today. So we're really excited that you guys joined us and tuned in. And as always, you can check back with us next week for another phenomenal show. Check me out at Charvette.com. Have a great week.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at Charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, signing off.